Hi, everyone. I'm Deb Flaschenberg. Welcome to Yoga, Birth, Babies, a podcast produced by Prenatal Yoga Center. We will be diving into everything prenatal yoga, birth, and baby-related, hoping to inspire, educate, and empower you through your journey into motherhood. Thank you for listening. Hi, everyone. This is Deb Flaschenberg. I am the founder and director of Prenatal Yoga Center. I'm also a labor support doula, Lamaze teacher, and mother of two. And welcome to our second episode of Yoga Birth Babies. And what we're going to talk about this time, we're going to talk with Yali Sulinski, and we're going to talk all about pregnancy and body image and motherhood and birth and the ups and downs of all of that. So thank you so much for joining us, and let's jump right in. So we have Yali Sulinski here today. So I have a little bit I want to just kind of give you guys a heads up of who she is. First of all, she's been a student at Prenatal Yoga Center for quite a while, but her life is really deep and really has a lot to it. So I want to give you guys a little bit of her background. So Yali is a writer, a speaker, teacher, and creative guide whose passion is to uncover strength and healing within herself and others. She's also a mommy to a very cute little girl who slept all through postnatal class today. Yay for Yali. She was born in Israel and grew up in France and outside of Philadelphia. Yali has been documenting her life and adventures from a young age through her poetry, her short stories, journaling, and eventually a yet unpublished memoir detailing her descent into and recovery from crippling depression and eating disorders. During her pregnancy, Yali found a well of strength and connection to herself that she'd never before been able to access. She felt a wholeness and centeredness that with a new experience for her physically and emotionally. Yali is fascinated with helping others uncover their strength from her belief that everyone has a story to tell and that some stories are locked in our bodies and memories. And she's been working with kids and teens individually in classrooms and groups. And since entering her own recovery in 2008, she created the I Am Project in 2012 to provide students with tools and techniques to relieve stress and tend to themselves in productive and healthy ways. And she combines her studies in psychology, energy healing, physical fitness instruction, and creative therapy in a way that allows students to access their innate strength. Yali holds a BA in psychology from NYU, New York University, and is currently completing a master's program in psychology and education with a focus on spirit, mind, body integration at Teachers College here at Columbia University. And Yali has 10 years of experience in working with students as well as various certifications in healing, counseling, and physical practices. So she's really quite a fascinating woman. So thank you for being here, Yali. I really appreciate you giving us your time.
It is absolutely my pleasure.
So one of the reasons I wanted us to have this conversation with Yali for the listeners is I feel like so many times moms out there see other moms and just think like, wow, they really have it all together. Why am I struggling? I know I've been growing up hearing my mom talk about how she didn't understand why things weren't how she envisioned them. She envisioned that motherhood and pregnancy would be kind of like in the movies with like birds chirping around her in this really exciting, happy time. And my brother was colicking. It was really hard for her. And so I think it's important for all pregnant women and new moms to hear individual stories so they can feel they can relate to one another and feel less isolated. So that's why Yali's here today. So I really want to just kind of dive into who she is and, you know, talk about pregnancy, talk about individual experiences giving birth. So, Yali, you have quite a background. Is there anything else that I missed in your intro that you want to talk about?
No, I think you actually touched on almost everything. I feel like things will come out as we talk about different aspects of what we're talking about.
Great. Well, let's jump into how we met. We met, you came to the Prenatal Yoga Center. And I'd love to hear, you know, tell us about your pregnancy and was it what you expected?
No, it actually was not what I expected in a very, very positive way. Because I was told for quite a few years before I got pregnant that I would have a lot of trouble getting pregnant because of my history with eating disorders and just what I've been through. I was told by my then care provider, by doctors, that I really would have a tough time and to prepare mentally and psychologically for that. In fact, my GYN at the time said, well, if you're thinking about getting pregnant, you should start taking prenatal vitamins a year before you even think about starting to get pregnant. Mm-hmm. So that's exactly what I did. I was taking those for probably about 2 years. and I don't know whether that helped or not, but I got pregnant the first time that we tried, which was a surprise for both of us.
Oh, it's a great surprise. Yeah. Yeah, I actually did the same thing. Not from an eating disorder point of view, just from nutrition. I started my prenatals well ahead of time. In fact, now I'm almost 2 years postpartum and I still take them. So I think they're good for our bodies.
Yeah, they have a lot in them.
Yeah.
I was happy to take them. They replaced all of the individual vitamins I was taking, so that was good.
But that must have been really hard when doctors were being discouraging. I had that, in a sense, being kind of an older mom. You know, they told me it might take a while. So how did you deal with that when you heard that information?
Well, to be honest, I had been used to doctors telling me things that I was disappointed by. So I didn't really... I tried not to take it too harshly, and I have been very lucky in the fact that my partner, my husband, is just an amazingly supportive guy. And, you know, we met when I was in the midst of everything. And so when I came home and said, oh my God, we're not, you know, it's going to take us forever to get pregnant. We should. And I went on, you know, I kind of freaked out at him. He said, just, you know, don't worry, take it step by step. We'll get there. Whenever we get there, we'll get there. And that really helped me just center and focus on what was important, which was that eventually I did want to get pregnant. And sorry, I hear my daughter in the background.
I hear Zoe in the background. Hi.
But yeah, I just went along with it. And when we decided that we were ready to try, we said, let's just see what happens. And that's kind of how we went with it.
That's great. I'm really happy for you because it's not always so easy, but I'm really glad that you had a supportive partner. That makes a real difference. You know, someone having that reminds you to believe in yourself.
Yeah, absolutely. 100%.
So what were your biggest challenges during your pregnancy? You'd mentioned some body image issues, which I think a lot of women can relate to. You know, and how did you overcome some of those issues?
Well, a lot of it through yoga, actually. My biggest challenge was probably facing the fact that I would have to reduce the way and the amount that I was exercising, because for me, exercise ended up becoming a kind of a safety, an outlet, a way for me to kind of work out my own stuff and also cleanse a lot of what I was tending to in the classrooms and with my students. Mm-hmm. And as pregnancy advances, you can definitely keep exercising, and I did, but it does come with modifications. It comes with, you know, maybe stopping certain types of exercise. And that for me started to raise the question of, okay, what is this going to do to my body? And mm-hmm. what is my changing body going to do to my mind?
Mm-hmm.
What I found, which was really amazing for me, was that the more pregnant I became and thus the bigger I became, just the more I fell in love with this new body. Just this sensation, especially once I felt Zoe moving around inside of me, just the sensation of, wow, I can't even believe that this is happening, that I'm creating this life, and that it's my body that's holding her. So it actually helped me form a new kind of appreciation for my body. That's not to say that I had some moments, or I didn't have some moments where I looked in the mirror and I was like, wow, that's a lot bigger than I thought it would be. Or, gee, I didn't know I had that body part look like that.
You know, I think you are so healthy in the way that you approached. I'm really impressed and really proud of you for that. I mean, I never had what I'd consider an eating disorder, but I always felt like I towed the line. And I was not as healthy with my ability to modify my exercise. And I actually have talked and, you know, heard me in class say that I think my craziness with exercise is what caused my first labor to be so challenging. So I think it's really deep and mature that you were able to notice that you needed modifications. I think that's wonderful.
Well, actually, there are two things that came into play with that. Number one was, the main exercise that I was doing before I got pregnant was I was taking Zumba classes probably 4 or 5 times a week, mm-hmm. or more, and doing pretty extensive strength training. So my muscles were used to very high impact and very kind of getting really very tight and short. I guess that's what strength training does mm-hmm. to them. And I was noticing that some of the movements in the Zumba class especially were giving me some pain. And actually, I think you and I talked about it probably in my second or third week in your class. So I said, you know, I have this pain, and we sort of fleshed it out. And you said, oh, you know, maybe you should probably stop doing that. and I did, you know, it took me probably about another few weeks. But when I did stop, all of those pains went away, and that was a very good sign for me that not everything needs to continue at the same intensity that it was before, and eventually it probably hopefully can go back.
Yeah, you can get back to it when you're ready. But you know, as my midwife's always said, you know, the landscape of your body is forever changed. It doesn't mean that we can't resemble what we looked like before, but it may not be exactly that way. And as I was mentioning, even in class today, you know, to look at what our bodies have been able to create and be thankful for that. And yeah, maybe there's a few war wounds, but, you know, I think it's worth having the baby. But yeah, I do think as you're talking, the body image issue is so deep for many of us. And you've really handled that transition beautifully. You know, I wish I had, and I'm really impressed with you on that. Were there any other challenges during your pregnancy? Anything else emotional or physical that you felt like you stumbled into, or, you know, like how to make big shifts, like with your priorities of your time and your life?
There were. I just want to mention that, I mean, I don't want to make it seem like it was very, very easy to have that healthy mindset. It took a lot of work for me because there were some moments where I would just wake up and just not want to see what my body looked like that day because I knew that it wasn't, you know, that size that many, many years earlier I'd really worked to get to, or worked is kind of in quotations. But it was that dialogue with myself, that constant reminder that I'm creating something beautiful, that how amazing is it? That is what kept me going through the moments where I was just like, I can't handle this.
Did you ever seek any other help? Did you have like a therapist or a counselor that you spoke with, or were you able to kind of sit with this and process it on your own?
No, absolutely. When I entered recovery in 2008, I was actually in New York. So I started seeing a therapist. And I've been in touch with her for basically ever since then. And when I got pregnant, I went back to see her on a more regular basis because it really gave me a place to really talk about what the difficulties that I was having, whereas maybe I couldn't share them so much with my husband or with my family. Because the number one concern that everyone had was, how is Yali going to handle her body changing, and then is she going to get depressed, and what are we going to do about it? So
you really had a good support system there. I think a lot of women, you know, there could be shame and they may not have the support. Their partner can say like, hey, listen, you have to eat. And they may not understand really kind of the deep roots that body image can have with many people.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And we encountered those moments also where I would say, you know, I really, oh my gosh. If you ask my husband, he'll be able to tell you how many times I said to him, like, oh, you know, I'm as big as a house, and, oh, you know, this is going to be my size forever, and I should just buy, you know, I should just wear maternity clothes forever. And he just said, okay, you know, you could say that, but, you know, that's not true, and what we're doing is amazing. So So just relax. That's his tagline. Just relax.
He's a great guy. Now, I definitely want to talk more about your pregnancy, but I just kind of fast forwarding a little since we are talking about body image. So how are you doing postpartum with your body, you know, working to reshape itself?
So it's very interesting. It's a completely new body. I am still getting to know it for sure. You know, I'm only, I think, I get about 11 weeks postpartum. And I definitely noticed in the beginning that I felt very weak. I felt like almost like giving birth had taken all the strength and energy from every muscle in my body.
I think a lot of women can relate. I actually felt like I was strong and toned and had stamina during my pregnancy, and postpartum, I don't know what happened, but I think part of it's fatigue, and part of it, if you choose to breastfeed, you're literally nourishing someone else. You know, keeping our bodies nourished is helpful. But yeah, I felt the same way, and I hear from many of the students that they feel that way too, that, you know, they're strong during pregnancy, then what happened postpartum? So right. I don't think you're alone in that. So I'm really glad you're saying that so people can hear that if they're feeling that, like, wow, they're not alone. Other women have this experience.
No, for sure. It's quite a shock, actually. I remember my first yoga class back, and I was shaking just in trying to hold myself up. And I hadn't experienced that probably since I was in the midst of my eating disorder, just shaking while trying to hold plank or anything, really. And since then, I really worked to very slowly but gradually kind of rebuild my strength and try as best as I can to focus on that rather than what I look like, because that's kind of where I toe the line. You know, when I went back for my 6-week postpartum checkup, my doctor, she forgot to weigh me. So as I was walking out, she goes, "Oh, don't you want to see how much weight you lost?" I looked at her and I was like, "No, not really."
The dreaded scale.
She's like, "Well, I have to weigh you." So she did. And then she said two words, which were really, they still kind of echo in my mind because I don't know. It seems like such a strange thing to say, even though she meant it in a very nice way. She said, "Oh, good job." Which is odd to me, but. So I try to avoid numbers whenever I can and just kind of, you know, wear clothes that I feel comfortable in and continue to move as much as I can. You know, I dance around with Zoe in the apartment all the time, so that that makes me feel good.
Yeah. No, your yoga practice is really beautiful and just kind of your calmness. So I know that postpartum body image also can be really challenging, and you seem to really handle it in stride.
So, I try. Yeah. Otherwise, I'll go insane.
Well, I kind of want to jump back to pregnancy. Besides the body image issue, what other challenges did you encounter?
Well, I encountered something very interesting, which was a very sharp change to my social landscape. I had a couple of friends, one friendship specifically that just ended very abruptly. When I was around 6 months pregnant. And with that, other friendships went and definitely shifted. And it was a friendship that, looking back, actually was not very healthy for me. And it really made me look at, okay, where am I spending my time? Mm-hmm. What is this? Where is my energy going?
And where's your community?
Where's my community? And who do I want with me when I make that passage into motherhood? Who do I want to surround my child with? You know, what kind of role models do I want for her? And so I actually ended up spending a lot more time getting to know people in my neighborhood, in the Jewish community here, getting more involved with activities in the synagogue, and finding a lot of very beautiful people that I really connected with. And a couple that I actually found out went to prenatal yoga center, or that I probably encountered in class at some point. So that was a big shift for me, because it really made me look at, where is my time going? What actually matters to me? And who in my life actually, which relationships nurture me and which just drain me?
Yeah, which are toxic, absolutely.
And that was a big shift because I'm the kind of person who likes to, you know, help everyone and just be there for everyone. I'll be there for you. Like, really, if you need anything, call me. That's and I mean it. Mm-hmm. And at a certain point, you know, you can't be that for everyone.
Do you feel more satisfied with this shift? I would think if you kind of got rid of the relationships that had baggage and were maybe labeled toxic, and you found these new relationships that you felt kind of fed you a little more, do you feel like you're just more satisfied and you're more yourself?
Absolutely. I feel like I have more time and energy to pause and reflect and be with myself. I realized that I was giving away a lot of my free time to other people. Mm. And having that now, I mean, not that I really have free time now.
I was thinking, I'm like, where is this free time? I'm a mom and I have yet to find free time.
And by free time, I mean, you know, the 5 minutes.
That you can shower.
That I can shower. But I really feel more connected to myself. I feel a lot calmer. I feel like I don't have other people's baggage, as you said, or drama to really think about. It's just me and my family and the supportive community that I pick and choose.
That's great. I believe in community, and I think that it's important to have people that can really listen and support and go through the process, kind of that journey and transition into motherhood. You know, pregnancy can definitely have its ups and downs. So given that, so should you decide to have another child, and you've already kind of gone through some of the ups and downs and trials of tribulation of your first pregnancy, did you learn anything that you would do differently and approach differently if you want to have another?
I would go to prenatal yoga earlier.
You started pretty early.
I started at 16 weeks. I would go at,
that's true. We had one woman that came. This is the earliest anyone. Her name was Caitlin. She was amazing. And she literally came in. It was a full class. So she was right next to me in the front row. And you know how we do circle time. And, you know, they say their name, how far along, issues. And she announced, "I just peed on the stick this morning." And she came to us with two of her pregnancies. So it was great. So I guess next time you'll be announcing, "I just peed on the stick. I'm pregnant. Here I am." Well, we would love to have you. So, okay, since we're talking about, you know, it's yoga birth babies, I would love if you're open to it. Do you want to share some of your birth story? And if it's something you don't want to dive into, I totally respect that as well.
No, I'm happy to. Let me think about this. It feels like it was years ago. So I was almost 2 weeks overdue.
Yes, I do remember that.
Yes. And I'm pretty sure I would have gone longer, at least a couple of days longer. I did start having, I had a date set for a medically induced birth. Mm-hmm. And I did start having like very weird contractions about 2 days before that, but they were not, they would be regular for about an hour and then they would just stop. And then maybe they would come back and then or maybe they wouldn't. and my husband and I really went back and forth with, should we wait? Should we just do it? And in the end, I decided to give Zoe an eviction notice. just because it was getting very, very uncomfortable, and I was starting to panic a little bit that she wouldn't have enough room, and what if she can't breathe, and she can't breathe in there. But what if, you know, my mind started taking over, which I realized would probably hinder my experience. Mm-hmm. And so I decided to go ahead with the induction, which was very interesting. I gave birth in a hospital setting. I gave birth at Cornell, which I have to say I had a very, very good experience there.
Right.
All of the nursing staff, and I actually had one nurse who was a doula, but had just started. This was literally her first day in a hospital setting. She was as a nurse.
That's a real gift because, you know, from my experience as a doula, I don't think a lot of the nurses had probably seen a natural birth or even knew how to support, even though they might have believed in it. So to have someone that has that belief in the pregnant body already like that, I think it's a real gift. Good for you. I'm really glad to hear that.
Yeah, no, it really was because she was... she wasn't the first nurse I had, but she was the first nurse I had with the Pitocin, with the real, like, the real deal.
The real pit going, yeah.
And she wrote, there was a little board there, and she wrote very clearly on the board, you know, Yali will tell us if and when she wants pain medication. She prefers having a, you know, non-medicated birth, if possible.
Wow, I've got chills at that, because it's just, to have that kind of support is fantastic and really unusual in a hospital setting. I mean, I'm sure there are, you know, nurses and doctors that can stand by that, but I do think it's not common. So to have someone advocate for you and from the inside out, you know, from the hospital setting is just incredible.
Yeah, no, it was great. I mean, the only bad thing with it is that they work in shifts. So
eventually she leaves.
But also my care provider was also very supportive all the way through. I mean, basically anything that we learned about in class, I asked her at the following appointment, and she answered every question I had, which was great. But that's the thing. There's no guarantee that your doctor will deliver a baby, at least in this practice.
Mm-hmm.
I got lucky because the induction was scheduled in a way so that she would be on shift. And it just ended up lining up. But I have to say the actual process of the contractions was very strange for me because it didn't come naturally from my body. Mm-hmm. It was induced by the Pitocin. So that was very strange for me because I couldn't really gauge when the contractions would come. Because it wasn't something internal. I remember struggling to kind of connect to what was going on.
Interesting.
But at one point, I decided to kind of let go into it and say, okay, so this is the way it's going to be. And induced contractions are really intense and really fast.
Mm-hmm.
Like the it goes really, really, really fast.
How many minutes apart were they when they started?
When they started...
When they started the pit. Because they usually start at kind of a low dose and continue to increase it. Did you know, like, how often did you start to feel it?
So that's the other thing. I actually didn't feel the contractions until they were about 3 minutes apart.
Oh, wow. So, yeah, your body really did not have time to adjust. It is different because your hormonal system, which is so delicate during labor, you know, the natural hormonal system, it gets askewed when Pitocin is introduced because the body is no longer producing oxytocin. So the endorphins aren't releasing the same way. So the whole hormonal balance is very different.
Yeah. Yeah. And the experience I feel is very, very strange because I could definitely feel the pressure of the contraction, but I couldn't feel the sensation until they were very close apart and they were very close together. And at that point, I really had to dive into the tools my own tools, and then also the tools that we learned in class. The breathing definitely helped 100,000%. And for me, what really helped me get through were visualizations, kind of taking myself to a completely different place. And as the contractions got more and more intense, I had more and more intense visualizations. I'd imagine it's what, like, being on some sort of acid trip would be like.
You know, my friend Liz described, and I was her doula for all three of her births, she described her second birth as like an acid trip without drugs. And I know her. She'd had a few drugs herself in the past, so she had some reference point. And watching her go through that, you can see she really... her body really took off. So it's interesting. I haven't heard a woman that had Pitocin have that same experience, but it sounds like you were able to really work with your body, even with Pitocin.
Yeah. And I think that comes from the many, many years of really getting to know my body on a very intimate level. And I tend to be a very spiritual and, kind of open person energetically. So I'm kind of used to seeing weird things. But one of the probably for me the most moving moment of my birth, besides my daughter being born, that I'd like to share because it was very important for me, was in one of these moments. Probably, so there were three phases, I think, to my birth, which was, first one was the contractions and really being in them, and the second one we'll get to, and the third one was the actual birth. But in that, in the first phase, there was one moment where I felt like I saw, there was this, the vision that I had was of the sky opening and light coming down. And I think I actually reached up to grab it at some point because I think my husband thought I was reaching for his hand, but then I shooed it away. And then I remember looking around and seeing there, sitting in a chair, my grandfather, who actually passed away 4 years ago.
Wow.
Who Zoe's Hebrew name was actually after him. And he was just sitting there, just very peaceful, just watching. And that gave me this enormous sense of calm.
Yeah.
And just kind of like, okay, it's going to be okay. Like,
wow.
It's going to be okay.
That is so special. That is so unique. And that just, women out there that are listening, to be able to go into that deep place that you were able to go with your birth. You know, just today in class, in the prenatal, I was asking women, you know, what's your vision of labor? And, you know, a lot of fear came up with the discussion. Someone just said, like, horrific, awful, painful. And, you know, as I mentioned, like, pain is relative. But you were able to go to such a unique, special place. You know, that I don't think we think of that birth can do that. You know, that your hormones were working with you and you were able to get so relaxed and open and receptive to, you know, this kind of altered state. You know, I wish that birth had more of that for people than the words horrific.
Yeah. And I mean, you know, let's put it this way. The sensation of birth is very strong.
Yeah. Let's not kid ourselves. The sensation of birth is strong, but it's relative. It doesn't mean that that strong sensation can't take you somewhere else,
right?
Which
right.
It did for you.
But I have to say that it's not like, you know, you can cram for it the night before and then do that. I think what really helped me get to that place was that I really took the time during my pregnancy to get to know my body, to get as much information as possible so that even an inkling of something might trickle in during birth that I'll think like, oh, okay, I know what's going on. Like even in kind of the haze of it, there were a few moments where I was able to say, oh no, don't do that. Or, mm-hmm. No, I really, you know, I prefer this. Or, and that definitely came from the childbirth ed class that I took at PYC. It came from what we learned in class. It came from your blogs. I think I told you that towards the end, anything that I had in my mind, I would just say, I wonder if Deb wrote about it. And usually, you had written about it.
So, I've been writing it for like 10 years, about 300 entries. I think I start to be like, what else can I talk about?
Well, I mean, it's a real encyclopedia. It's very, very useful.
And
it's very calming, actually. To be able to go there and say, like, oh, okay, so I'm freaking out about this, but Deb says that here are the things that could happen.
So. I'm really glad I was there. But, you know, so one thing, you know, whether it's at PYC or anywhere else, I think when we come onto the yoga mat, it's really an opportunity to explore our bodies and our different tolerances and different facets. And especially the pregnant body, because every time you're on the mat, even though, I mean, how many times did you cat-cow every class? But because you're coming in with a pregnant body, it's different. You know, like maybe one day you have a little growth spurt, or one day you have an elbow here or a foot. You know, it really teaches us to, I think, look deeper and just explore what this new body has to offer, which I think is different than a regular yoga class per se that, you know, your body doesn't change quite so much in such a short period of time. So I'm glad that the mat was that place of exploration for you.
For sure, for sure. And then also, I mean, they say don't Google, but I'm an avid Googler. So I really did research as much as I could, just because I felt that I knew that I would be in a situation where at some point I would be giving away control of my body. So I needed to know, even though you can't really know what you're getting into, I needed to know what I was getting into.
And then let it go.
Exactly.
Yeah. But as Ina Mae Gaskin says often, it's like, let your inner monkey do it. You can't think your way through. You can use mental tools, but you can't think your way through labor, which I think I tried for my first one.
Right. No, but it was really helpful. I also took a motherhood psychology class during my pregnancy, which was about the different psychological states of the mother as she goes through pregnancy and then giving birth. So that was very intense, and that's actually where our interview came in. Uh-huh. And
do you want to talk about that? That's really interesting.
Yeah, I mean, it's a course at Teachers College, and it's a phenomenal course. The professor who teaches it is just this amazing, amazing woman who, she runs the maternal mental health lab at Columbia. And the focus of the class is to basically deconstruct the theories around birth and the psychological theories, historical theories, and kind of raise the question of where is the mother in all of this? Because it's not just the child that's being born,
mm-hmm.
it's also the mother. And her argument is that even in a second or third birth, the mother is born every time. It's not like, oh, she had a kid already, so she's already a mom. No, she's born in a new stage every time.
So absolutely, because she has to learn how, I know I felt for like my second, that I had to learn how to relate to a new child. Mm-hmm. And the experience of not trying to expect the second child to act the same, and I wasn't the same. So I love that idea. And I do believe that I think too much of the society just looks at baby being born and doesn't always look at the whole picture of the mother and her full experience.
Yeah, no, I was thinking about it today, actually, that while you're pregnant, you are special. Everybody's looking at you and going, oh, wow, you know, look how big you're getting. Oh, what are you do? And there's a lot of excitement about you, the mother.
Mm-hmm.
And the baby's born, the baby's special, and where, you know, you don't, people kind of forget about you.
Yeah, I actually talked about that on my Periscope this morning about, you know, holding the space for the mom to be able to process her birth experience. You know, I think we don't do that enough, especially if the woman had a challenging labor. You know, it's often just said, oh, you know, but the most important thing is the baby's okay. But I don't think that's the case. You know, if the mom doesn't have an opportunity to process, it's going to come out in some other manner, you know, her trauma from it. So, yeah, I think we have to look at the whole union of mother and child and partner and how that whole family unit is now changed.
Right. No, absolutely. And something else that you said in your Periscope this morning also that I want to bring up is that the best thing that you can do for a woman who had a challenging birth is just listen.
Yeah, hold the space. Create the container.
Yeah. Don't offer advice. Don't, you know, just be there.
Yeah, and that's hard. I think that's hard for a lot of people. I know that it's something I learned. I think part of it's because my husband's a social worker, and I heard it many times. Yeah, it's not about trying to fix. It's not even offering advice. It's just to let them talk and not invalidate their feelings.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, I want to jump a little. Oh, is there more you want to talk about?
I was just going to add that I also had the fortune of having a couple of my friends had kids within the year before I did. So I actually got a chance to talk to some other women about their birth experiences, and some of them were very challenging.
Yeah. I think it's interesting to hear the different varieties of birth experiences and be okay. You know, I think what happens oftentimes is we have this image that it has to be one way. And if our birth doesn't fall into that category, what's wrong with us? What did I do wrong? You know, I think we, hearing as many opportunities, as many stories really can validate that it's okay if it didn't go exactly how I, you know, how one thought it would. So here's a loaded question. How's motherhood?
Before we get to that,
okay.
So I just want to say that actually my birth did not go as I had wanted it to go, because I wanted a fully unmedicated birth, and uh-huh. I ended up having every drug that they could possibly give you.
Okay.
So I was on an IV. I had the Pitocin. I also had the penicillin because I was
Group B.
Group B positive. And at one point, so in the second stage of my birth, the contractions were they were basically one, not even one after the other, they were one on top of the other. So the peak of one would coincide with kind of the rising of the next one.
Wow, you were really being slammed.
Yeah, and it was too much for my body. I think my parasympathetic nervous system just kind of went haywire. And I started just really, really stressing out. And my body's stress response is to release everything. So I was, just warning, it's a little graphic. I was just throwing up everything mm-hmm. all the time, constantly. And it was happening so often that I couldn't breathe. And so at one point it was very scary. And I started panicking. I was like, the baby, she's not going to be okay. I'm not going to be okay. This is not going to work. And while all that is happening, they're also checking you. They're monitoring. There are all these things attached to me. They're doing internal exams. And I was like, okay. I turned to my husband and I said, I need, I'm going to get the epidural. And he looked at me and he said, he asked me three times if I was sure, because he knew that that's not what I wanted. And we discussed it. And I said, yeah, it's going to stop my body from stressing out. And it did. It's exactly what it did. And then I said, I don't know if I actually said it or whatever, but I think I asked them not to give me like a full, really huge dose of it, but just enough so that it wouldn't be as intense. Because mm-hmm. I could definitely still feel things going on and I could move a little bit. But that was, I think, a very important decision for me to make during my birth, because it, first of all, after that, everything went very, very, very quickly. She descended, and probably within 3 to 4 hours of getting the epidural, she was out. Which sounds like a long time, but in a birth, it's really not a long time.
Right, no, absolutely. I've worked with women where it's a very similar situation. They're like, no, I don't want it. But there comes a point, if the body is so exhausted and depleted, I actually think, and probably so tense and tight, that pelvic floor is going to be so tense and tight, it's actually harder to relax and let the baby descend and open because you're so contracted. And so an epidural in those cases, of course anyone can choose at any time, but especially for the women when they didn't want to do it, to digest the information of like, all right, I'm going to take it. I think it really suits them. You know, I think in that kind of time, it's a really valid choice I'm glad you did that, because you probably would have had a very difficult time pushing her out if you were so tight and so depleted.
Yeah, no, absolutely. It made a huge difference. And then when it came time to push, it was very, very quick. I mean, the doctor wasn't even like prepared for how quick it was.
Oh, I'm glad to hear that, you know, even though it wasn't exactly how you wanted. But you know what I think what's important to take away here is that you made the decisions, you know, even though it was definitely not the birth that you had maybe envisioned or had planned in that sense. I think, you know, what was helpful and empowering is that you made the decisions. It wasn't told to you.
Mm-hmm. And that was the key, that I really felt that I had a voice in my birth, rather than being told, okay, we're going to do this to you, now we're going to do that to you. It was I really felt like I was making choices.
That's huge. All right, so now we're going to jump to, tell me how motherhood is. The ups and downs, the good, the bad, the happy and the uglies.
I think it's overall very, very happy. It's been a lot of fun. I mean, from the beginning, I found it, I kind of looked at it as an adventure and a challenge that just keeps becoming more and more challenging. But there's also, I mean, it's just amazing to watch this little person that my husband and I created grow really quickly and become her own person and explore the world, and just kind of being able to still nourish her from my own body and also to guide her. And that's just amazing. Now, it's also very, very hard.
What are some of the challenges that you've been facing, if any?
Well, so I'm trying to think of them. I know what they are, but so I think the biggest challenge for me, and it's something that we've talked about before, is the redefinition of my identity. I love being Zoe's mom. It's amazing. It's an incredible experience. And now it's starting to really hit me how much of my previous path is kind of left in a different life. Mm-hmm. And how much, and I really have to pick and choose what I bring with me, because the truth of the matter is that she has very, very strong and specific needs, and a lot of them involve me being here and me being present with her. And some of them are, she's still waking up at night. And
well, Sage is still waking up at night, and she's almost two. So I hope that changes for both of us very soon.
Yeah. I mean, she's still waking up at night, and she's very, her care is essentially in my hands. My husband works super full time. He owns his own business, so he's working around the clock. So it's really me, and thankfully my mom and my in-laws also have been helping. But it's hard because I look at,
Hi Zoe, mama's almost done. Don't worry.
I don't know. She's with her dad. She'll be okay. So that's another example, right? She very rarely calms down with him. Very, very rarely. And it's not, he's an amazing guy and he does everything he can, but she's so attached and so used to me being around that it's hard for her when I am not immediately next to her. There are little ups and downs. Like right now she's going through a phase where she's refusing bottles. So that makes going back to school and going back to work challenging.
Right.
I'm not in a situation where I could just run back and beat her and then run back in necessarily.
What about schedule? I know that was something that I still even struggle with. It's like, I didn't realize for me how free I thought I was crazy busy before having children. There was a certain freedom. The schedule was in my hands, more or less. And I found, like, even now, if I just want to run out and grab a cup of coffee, I either have to bring my kids with me or make sure someone's at home. Like, does that affect you? Have you felt that yet? Like the...
Hold on one second.
Sure, of course. Oh, I think we were put on mute for a moment.
Okay. So now I have Zoe on me.
Hi, Zoe.
she was not having it.
She's like, give me some boob. Give me some mama. Yeah, so I was just mentioning earlier, like the idea that little freedoms have been, I don't want to say removed, but maybe taken for granted. Do you feel that at all right now in this stage of motherhood?
Well, I was thinking about it earlier, actually. So when she was born, I was mid-semester, and I decided that that wasn't going to stop me. I took her to school with me. I spoke to my professors and said, look, I just had a baby. And, I mean, they knew, obviously. But and they were very, very accommodating. They said to me, okay, great, bring her to class. Just bring her to class. And I was lucky to be, the two professors that I had were in my actual program. So they're very spiritually and mind-body oriented. So that definitely helped. But if I needed to leave the house, let's say at 8 o'clock to be in class by 9, then the getting ready process started at 6.
Yeah.
And
not quite throw your shoes on right out the door anymore.
No, not really. And it also included getting to school 45 minutes before class so I could feed her and change her. And so she would hopefully sleep through the class. That worked sometimes not so much.
It's great that your professors were so open and supportive.
Yeah, they really are. They really are amazing. And it's very, I don't know how, it's probably not very common, just from the reaction that I've gotten around it, but, little freedoms. I mean, part of my weekly routine would be like, hey, let me look at all the schedules of the exercise studios that I go to and pick a few classes. I mean, the only one that I look at now is PYC because I can bring Zoe with me.
Yeah. Free childcare that way.
Right. Exactly. And you're right, you know, going out to get a cup of coffee, that probably also involves at least 30 to 45 minutes of prep before going out the door. It's a whole new life. And I actually, you know, one of my friends is having a birthday party this Saturday night. And I said to her, you know, I'd really love to be there, but I can't be away for bedtime. I need to be home.
Eventually, you'll be able to pass it on to a sitter, but for now...
Right.
Yeah. But I even find, like, my husband and I have to kind of negotiate, like, who gets to take the shower this morning, who has to take it at night when the kids are asleep. Like, it's little things that I think
I'm
taking for granted. My friend, before I had kids, she's like, my hygiene is just not as good. I'm like, what are you talking about? And now I get it. It's like, when can you slip a shower in? And sometimes, you know, I'm going to admit it, I put, you know, Curious George or Super Eye on and be like, you guys watch this, I got to take a shower. Yeah, you know, so I've used that as a babysitter.
I love my mom comes because I get to wash my hair.
The big deals.
So without feeling guilty, I think that's the hardest part for me. It's the guilt of, especially now with the fact that she's refusing the bottles. Like, how can I even think about leaving the house when my child needs to eat?
Yeah, I think there's a lot of guilt of motherhood. That could be a whole nother podcast. But
yes.
But there are big challenges, you know, so I think that the image that we often see or think that other people have of just like, oh, the baby comes, it's going to stroll the baby, you know, there are ups and downs and there are challenges that I think it's important to get out there so that women don't feel like they're on their own with this. They're like, oh, thank God this person is going through this too. I remember with Shay, he was about 3 weeks old, and I couldn't get him to sleep. He skipped his naps, and at one point, I just started to cry. He cried, I cried, I called my husband, like, when are you coming home? And he finally came home and just said, hand me the baby, and I did, and I walked in the other room. And I've told that story to other women, they're like, yes, we've been there, that happens. And to know that, you know, it doesn't make you a bad mom because you freaked out and cried along with your baby. It's validating, I think.
Oh, yeah.
I think we need that.
And that's definitely happened. I mean, she's gone through phases where she didn't sleep or
you didn't sleep or...
And in the beginning, I mean, we found out very early that she has a milk allergy. And the way you find that out with a baby is that
they're vomiting.
They used to eat and they can't poop and they are really cranky and terrible.
Oh.
So
that must have been a challenge.
That
must have been hard.
It's messy. Motherhood is really messy. But it's
in many ways. Emotionally, physically, it's a messy experience.
Yeah, for sure. And that's why I'm really glad that I kind of took stock of who was in my life, because I feel like the people that I have now, they may not fully get it, but they get it enough to be supportive and to listen when I need to rant about the fact that I changed her 3 times and every time she poops or something like that.
Yeah, those are the friends you need. Those are friends you need, not trying to rush you off the topic, like, yes, that's annoying, and just, you know, keep plowing forward.
Right, exactly.
Well, is there anything else you want to share about your experience before we wrap up?
You
covered a lot. Anything about maybe, you know, well, you've talked about shifting, you know, identity and body image and priorities. You really shared just wholeheartedly a lot, and I appreciate your honesty. And I think, you know, other people, just to hear the ups and downs, can relate and just not feel like, oh, I'm not doing it right. Because I think that's something a lot of moms, I know I'm hard on myself about all the time. And just to hear that it's never going to be perfect and there are challenges, just make us relate to one another better.
And I think it's important for women to know, for mothers to know, that they're not alone. Anything that's happening during pregnancy, during labor, during birth, during, you know, early and later in motherhood, like thousands and thousands and thousands of women have done this before and continue to do this and are doing it right now.
Mm-hmm.
So you really are not alone, and there are places to reach out to. And for me, PYC was amazing. It's really a godsend. And to find a place, even if it's, you know, it could be through many different channels, doesn't have to be a yoga
there's
studio.
There's tons of places like La Leche League, even just meeting up at friends, you know, if you keep going to the same Starbucks over and over at the same time, you're bound to meet some people. Like, I found that sometimes if I just need to get out of the house, I'd toss the kids in the stroller and just even walk to Whole Foods, and I'm bound to find somebody, you know, that I know in the neighborhood and can connect with. And sometimes just getting out of the house and not feeling isolated, it was really a savior for me. And I was feeling just a little stir crazy.
Sure. No, this mild winter, although probably controversial, was kind of a savior for me.
Yeah. Oh, well, thank you so much for sharing your stories and being honest and just letting people hear who you are. I really appreciate it.
It's my pleasure. Thank you so much for having me on your podcast. I'm really excited.
Thank you. So I guess I'll see you in yoga.
Definitely.
All right. Well, have a wonderful night. Take care.
Okay. You too.
All right, bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you so much for joining us on our second episode of Yoga Birth Babies. I'm Deb Flaschenberg, and this is sponsored by Prenatal Yoga Center. So if you enjoyed this and want to tell your friends about it, what I would love if you would do is go to iTunes, subscribe, and rate us. This way that more people can learn about us and we can continue to help pregnant women, new moms, birth workers, just find a sense of being empowered into this journey of pregnancy and motherhood. Please also check us out we do 3 Periscopes a week under Deb Flaschenberg. Check out my blogs on prenatalyogacenter.com. You can find us on Facebook. You can find us on Instagram and Twitter. So until next time, I hope you have a wonderful night. Happy birthing and namaste.
This has been an episode of Yoga Birth Babies, produced by Prenatal Yoga Center. You can catch us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Periscope. I'm Deb Flaschenberg. Thanks for listening.